But before we get into God's word, thank you, Crystal. I want to give a challenge. But first, I have a question. Do you believe in God's word? Any yeses out there? Okay. Do you believe that the word of God, that God's word is the living, inspired word of God? Okay. If you believe this, would you raise your hand? You don't have, if you don't, you don't have to. I mean, we're not gonna look at you and throw stones at you. Don't worry about it. Okay, you put your hands up. Now, I would like to ask, what type of attitude do you have when you approach God's word? When you read it yourself, what's your attitude? Or when you listen to your favorite preacher on the radio or TV and he's proclaiming the word of God, what do you do when you hear it? Or when you come to church on Sunday mornings, what do you hear, or what do you do, and what is your attitude when you hear God's word? Recently this week, I think it was Thursday, as I was spending time with the Lord that morning, he really challenged me. And he challenged me with this, that when I hear God's word, I should be asking myself this question. I'm going to have you say this phrase, okay? Okay. When I approach God's word, God told me that I should say this phrase. But I'm going to make everyone else say it with me. And this is the phrase. How will I obey it? Okay, on three, we'll all say that. One, two, three. How will I obey it? When you approach God's word, do you ask yourself that question? That hit me. When I come to God's word, or when I hear God's word taught, do I come with that attitude? Lord, what you say to me, how will I obey it? In our culture here, we like to be inspired. We like to watch movies that emotionally move us. We like all this stuff. But when it comes to doing it and obeying it, so that's one of my challenges for us this morning. When we approach God's word, if it's here, or when you're reading it by yourself, or you're listening to it on the radio, you have that mental thought, Lord, how will I obey it? How will I obey it? Because what does James say? Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We love to be inspired. We love to be challenged. But do we obey it? And I ask you today, when you hear God's word today, will you change your attitude? How will I obey it? And ask God, say, Lord, give me one thing that you want me to do with your word today. Don't try to do everything. It's overwhelming. What's one thing that God wants to say to you today? Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, as we get into your word, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would change our attitudes from being only from hearers to doers of your word. I pray, Spirit of God, that you come, you challenge, you wake us up, you make us uncomfortable, whatever it takes that we could come to know you and obey you, Father. We invite your Spirit because we know you want to move in our lives for your purpose and for your glory. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week in Genesis chapter 7, where Noah, remember, Noah entered the ark with his family and with a certain number of animals that God had told him to do so. And then we saw that when they got into the ark, God shut him in and the flood came and destroyed the rest of mankind and the rest of the animals on the earth. And as we saw last week, we also saw that God's grace was on Noah and his family, and he spared them from his judgment, the wrath of God. And as I shared last week, there is another flood coming. It is a flood of God's judgment, and we need to be like Noah and to be preachers of righteousness to our friends, to our family, and to people that God brings into our lives. We need to proclaim Christ to the lost world. We need to warn people about the coming judgment of God. Or are we just going to sit around comfortably in our churches? Or are we just going to feel good and feed me mentality? Or will we plunge into the sea to rescue them? And that's another question I asked this morning with a challenge. How will we obey that? Did you ask yourself that question last week? Or is it just a little inspiration that we got a little challenge? Okay, that's great. And now we're going to go on to the next message. I'm guilty of the same thing. I get inspired, but how will we obey it? For me personally, when I applied that, when I was thinking this week, when the Lord showed me that, I was like, okay, the message last week, I started thinking about how will I read, practice? How will I obey that? One thing I started doing, being more faithful to pray for family, friends, and people that are in my life. That's the first step. I think sometimes Christians, that's the first step and last step. I'll pray. But for me, I need to be more diligent to pray. I prayed for my brother. I prayed for Steve and Jean and for their salvation. I need to pray more for my family, for Diana's side of the family. Some of them do not know the Lord. But then also it really challenged me too about, okay, I pray, what else can I do? Am I, with I'm thinking of Jess on Diana's side of the family, Jess and Leslie, how am I reaching out to them just being part of their lives? Instead of being stuck up here in my busyness, how am I reaching out to build relationship so I then have an inroad into their lives to proclaim Christ? So you see how I'm kind of figuring out, how do I obey that? What about you from last week? How are you going to obey it? How can we obey and plunge in and begin to rescue those people through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring people to Jesus? But today, there's another thing that I feel that we needed to talk about before we continued in the book of Genesis. And it's this: even though we believers of Christ will escape the wrath of God like Noah and his family, this does not mean that we will escape judgment. We don't talk about that very much, do we? We could get so comfortable. I'm going to get to heaven. Yeah. It's like I don't have any judgment now. I just go there. Oh, I made it. I'm in. I don't have to go to hell. I'm in. Listen to Paul, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the things done in the body, whether good or bad. We will all face the judgment seat of Christ. It is called the Bema seat, which means the judgment seat of Christ. And no, this is not the judgment that will determine if we get to heaven. It won't determine if we're in, because we know we cannot earn God's salvation. It is a gift from God. And as it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So I'm not talking about the judgment over into salvation if you get into heaven. For you get into heaven through the person Jesus Christ and him alone and what he did on the cross for you, you believe it and you've given him your lordship. You've given him your life. That's what gets you to heaven. You don't get into heaven and there's good and there's bad. It's on the scale and God goes, okay, I think you got in. No, when you get to heaven, it's because you heard the gospel, which is the good news that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose for your sins. And if you have faith in him, you can have eternal life forever. It's a free gift. But we as believers in Jesus Christ will be judged on how we lived our lives for Christ or not for Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. You could look at it this way. Scott, will you dim all the lights if you could? Not dim them, just shut them off. My light too, if you could. Okay? Someday, you die and you come before the judgment seat of God. Oh, that's not very bright, is it? Oh, come on, just look at it. Come on, yeah, it's kind of hard to look at, isn't it? Someday, all the secrets, the things you've done in secret that no one knew, the good, the bad, everything will come under the judgment, the light of God's judgment, and he will look at it. Everything will be exposed. You turn the lights back on. God's light will reveal everything that we did. I want to bite my skin. We will all, everything we did in secret and public will be exposed before God, the judgment seat of Christ. I don't like that. I don't want that. Everything. Everything exposed. What we've done, what we haven't done. Doesn't sound fun. You could also look at it this way. God's judgment is like a fire. When Paul wrote his letters to the Corinthians, he had to deal with many different issues with this church, and this church had a lot of issues. They had sexual immorality in the church where a son was sleeping with his father's wife, and they're kind of not doing anything about it. There was also abuse of spiritual gifts in this church. And then there was division, this argument, this division in this church. And in this part of the division part of this church, there was two sides. Some people were saying, oh, I follow the Apostle Paul. And the others, I follow Apollos, this preacher and this apologist, this guy who defended and proclaimed Christ and had a really strong gift. And so two sides were like, oh, I follow this guy. And there's this dissension going on. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But then Paul testifies to these believers that he was the one that laid the foundation. That he came to them, he proclaimed Christ, and like a master builder, he laid this foundation. And he said, this foundation is Jesus Christ. But then he warns them, beware on how you build on that foundation. And listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, it says this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work he is built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So God will judge each work that we do with fire. The foundation is Christ, and how we build on that foundation will be tested by fire. Well, you know, I volunteered at the VBS this year with selfish reasons. I did so I'd be seen and maybe I'll just feel good. We'll be tested by fire. Everything we do will be tested by fire. Are we doing it for me? Are we doing it for him? And because he tells us to obey him, we'll be tested the very depths of our very heart. You can look at it this way. Get this on, I don't know. Embarrass myself up here. Like fire, the judgment of God can be looked at as like fire. So we lived our life. We kind of, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm following Jesus, and I just kind of do whatever I want. And I just, you know, I don't want to go to hell. And I go to church every week, and I help out when I can. And then we die, and we come before God's judgment, and that is tested by fire. And the fire comes, it's hot, and God's judgment comes on the fire, and immediately it starts. A fire burns. And nothing else is left. It's burnt. It's gone. It's smoking. It's gone. Well, I thought I went to church. I thought I was really spiritual. But you didn't go to church to know Jesus. You went to church to feel good so you don't go to hell. The reasons, all these things, all these works, things you're doing are trying to earn God's love. No, it's gone, but it's going to smoke here. Okay, yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. You do all these things. You give to money to the charities. You do it. That's fine. It's not bad. But again, you're not doing it for the glory of God. You do it for the glory of yourself. You work hard. God's judgment comes that day. And man, it's doing pretty good. It's doing pretty good, but ultimately, it will begin to burn. If I kept doing it, it would burn and burn. The judgment of God is like fire. You gave your life to Jesus. You make mistakes. Some things burn at the judgment. Some things don't. But you gave your life to Jesus. You spend time getting to know him, and he moves your heart to go tell people and rescue people from Jesus, rescue people who are dying in their sins. And you go there not because you want to be seen, but because you're in obedience. He's your Lord. You can't earn it, so you're not doing it to earn it. You do it because you want to partner with God. He wants that you come along and be his friend and do ministry with you. And you say, Lord, I want that. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to be obedient. Because I love you, not because I have to. I do it because I love you. And you do that, and you lead someone to Jesus. And then you come that day, and the judgment of God comes. And you could keep having that there. You could keep doing it. It could even turn red. But stays. Doesn't burn up. We will all face the judgment seat of Christ. We will all face his judgment. Are we ready for fire? I'm not. I don't want the fire. Let's be honest about it. I don't want the fire of God's judgment. But it's coming. So believers, we will all face the very judgment seat of Christ. God's light will shine and expose everything. And then what will happen? Each one of us will receive rewards. Each of us will receive different awards, some more than others, some hardly any at all, and just be saved. We'll be in heaven, but they won't have many rewards. Matthew 16, 27 says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." And then there will be a crowning ceremony. It says, let me look at the different crowns. There's the crown of life we see in James 1, 12 that each of us will receive who keep following Jesus. So there'll be things that we all receive. There's also the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. There's also the unfading crown of glory in 1 Peter 5, 4. But then we will see people receiving different rewards for the way they lived. If you look in Revelation in chapter 2 and 3, you know the different churches that we see in the beginning of Revelation. Christ comes. Jesus himself comes. He begins to judge the churches and challenging them. And he starts giving them rewards. He says, if you conquer, if you overcome, this is what I will give you. And there's two of the rewards that I think are totally awesome. One of the rewards is this, and it's to the church of Pergamum, it's this. To the one who conquers, Jesus says, shall receive a stone, and on that stone will have a new name, and no one knows that name except yourself, you and God. No one else knows that new name that God's going to give you. I think that's a cool reward. I wonder what kind of stone, what kind of engraved by the finger of God. And no one knows it except you. And then another one I really like, one of the rewards is to the church of Laodicea. It says, the person who overcomes will sit with me on my throne. What? Sitting on the throne with Jesus? So people, we see that God's word declares that we will be judged and we will receive different rewards for the way we live our lives. Today, if you were to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and his light was to shine, expose everything that you even try to hide from people, all exposed, and then God comes and he begins to test it by fire, all the works you've done, things go up in flames or not, depending how you live for Christ. What rewards would you receive? As believers, should this not challenge us to live differently? I don't think we really believe that. There's believing, I'll kind of believe it. But if we believe that, that kind of, I don't know, that doesn't, I mean, I should have Doug come up here and just do that to his pants. Right here, right in his bottom. Make him run, ow! Don't do that, Reed. This should motivate us. It should wake us up. Stop being lazy. Because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, he'll be loved because he's love, and he loved us and saved us, but he still will have to judge. He's just, and he will judge and give rewards. Should this not challenge us to live intentionally? What's what intention mean? If anyone has asked you, Daddy, Mommy, or what's intention mean? My kids always ask us a question about words right now. What does intention mean? Anybody? What does intention mean? What was that? Purpose, okay. Purpose behind, okay. Anybody else? What does intention mean? What was that? Okay, okay. What does it mean? You know, intention means purpose. It means going for it, not just sitting there. It's putting thought, planning, even if it takes scheduling, whatever it takes, it's getting it done. It's going for it. It's doing it. Guys, we are challenged to do things intentionally. If not, life will get by us too quickly. The fire of God's judgment should motivate us with intentional going for God. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. Daniel Webster said, "What is the greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind?" He said, "His accountability to God." We will all stand accountable before God for the way we live. Should this not motivate us? I mean, if you're working at a job and there's an important deadline and you know that you have to finish by this date, and if you are, not only will you have some time to rest and be done, but you're going to get a bonus for it. Should that not motivate us to go for it? Or if we joined a triathlon, we're going to sit around, okay, yeah, I'm going to be ready when that day comes. No, we begin to work out. We begin to exercise. We begin to run, swim, bike, whatever that is. Because we want to win the prize. That God's judgment should motivate us with intention. It should motivate us with intention. Listen to Paul's words from 1 Corinthians 9:24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Do we run in such a way to obtain the prize that God wants to give us at the end of this race? Or are we running with intention? Paul, his life, one of his overall goals in life, we see that in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Could you imagine how that would change our lives if everything we do, we filter it through, I'm going to live for Christ? Or do we run with uncertainty? I mean, almost you think of some person running with no goal, no passion, no purpose. We kind of coast along life. We just make it from day to day. We live a half-hearted Christian life just trying to survive. That's not what God's calling us to. How do we live for Christ? How do we run with purpose? How do we run in such a way to begin to prepare us for the judgment seat of Christ? That's the answer we need to answer this morning. How do I do this? How do I wake up and put intention into my life to live differently? I titled today's message, "How do we intentionally live?" Intentional living. As I asked before, what does intention mean? It means deliberate, calculated, premeditated living. And as I've been learning about leadership, I've discovered many things. First, the importance of leadership. You just don't someday become a leader. It just doesn't accidentally happen. It takes preparation. It does take work. Second, true growth must come through intention. It must be intentional. Yes, we all grow. We go to school. We learn from teachers. We grow in math. Dylan's favorite is school. Dylan's growing even though he hates it. But you know what? Or you go through a hard time, you grow. But the question is, there's times you look at your life, we stop growing in areas. We just coast along. We no longer have purpose and direction. True growth that God wants us to come to the place, that he wants us to be as his child, takes intention. And that's what I'm learning. It takes intention. Let me just give you some personal things that my wife and I have been learning and what we're starting to put into practice. And are we there yet? No. But we are really working on being intentional. As you know, we have three kids now. 11, a 9, it's so weird saying that because they just changed the birthdays. 11, a 9, and 10 months in one day. Do you remember, does anyone feel like your life is like chaotic? I know your life's never chaotic, Crystal. But Crystal, it's kind of Crystal's fault partly, but I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm teasing her from this discussion we had. How about you? Do you remember, Janet, how it was when you had kids? Can I remember some of the chaos at times? Yes, a blur. So you may not be in it now, but if you are, you know what it's like. If you did, you know, you remember it. Di and I are realizing that we have to be intentional. So what we end up doing here is we made a decision. We went through and we cleaned the house. And now what we're doing is in the evenings before bed, we declutter the house. No, we don't go through and do all the bathrooms. We don't go through all the mopping. But what we do, okay, kids, let's get the kitchen clean after dinner. We clean the kitchen. And then make sure the dishes are done. And then, okay, kids, count, you get that to your room. You guys just put the pillows on the couch. So everything's decluttered. Then later on the weekend, we could do the bathrooms or whatever. But we declutter everything. And we did that for the first couple of days. I remember my wife kind of saying, isn't it kind of nice? We wake up and the house is decluttered. And my wife's like, oh, it's like more peaceful for her. And that was one of our goals, is that it would just be more a place of peace and not like your mind going on things that really aren't that important but makes you stressful. So now she could focus on things that would cause her to grow instead of that always nagging, right? So that was one thing that we implemented. Another thing we did is we had a dining room table, and I like to have dinner with our family around a table. Sometimes we gather around the kitchen, you know, and you have bar stools over and you're eating, and there's food you prepare, there's not a lot of room. But we couldn't use the round table because it was cluttered with mail. I get the mail, I pay the bills, and then I didn't know where to put it, and my wife's the filer, so I'd pile stuff on there, and other stuff would be piled on that table as well. So it makes that room so we can't go in there and have dinner. So what my wife did is she got a little file. We have a little basket, and she puts a file with some of the main bills and stuff. And I go through it now. I look at it. If I have to pay it, there's an envelope here. I'll put it there so I can pay it. And after I'm done, whatever I put in these little files, and when these files fill up, my wife transfers it to the big file cabinet downstairs, puts it away. And then now the round table doesn't have all this junk on all the time. Now if we call one of you guys, say, hey, come on for dinner. House is decluttered. The dining room could now be used. Do you see how it almost frees us up so we could focus on what's important? Now, we can have people over anytime we want because now we can say, okay, well, maybe the bathroom is a little dirty. We can clean that bathroom in 15 minutes. We could do a little touch-up things. Now it's not declutter and bathroom and this. We're ready. And for us, that was important. Maybe not for you. I don't know. But we have to do it intentionally. We have to do things intentionally. And then one other thing my wife mentioned, which this causes her growth and peace, is this. My wife loves worship music. So now with the house decluttered, she says, I want worship, I want music around the whole house. Now, I wish I was like some of you guys and were made out of money and I could buy this whole system wireless through the entire house and have one. That'd be awesome. No, we can't afford that.
So I thought, okay, what can I do? How can I start that for my wife? Because happy wife, happy life, let's work on that area. So I went and got her a gift, and I call it the C. diff gift. You know why? Call it the C. diff gift. She deserves a gift after everything she's gone through with C. diff. And it's now been over 3 weeks, which is huge. So I went and got her one of those Alexa Echoes for the kitchen. Alexa, play Carrie Joby. Am I saying it wrong? Oh, so I think, see, I'm bad. My wife would know that I'll say it right. I think I tried that, and Alexa goes, I don't know Carrie Joby. And then Dad goes, Carrie Jobe. It does it, right? But I remember the first weekend I got that for, she was at home, a Sunday morning, and she said, did you send me a text? Oh, Reed, it's just so peaceful. She's having to spend time with the Lord. House was decluttered, so that's not nagging her. And now she has music. We realized that much of our stress that kind of helps pull away from growth is self-inflicted. We just put little things into place. It makes a lot better. It takes intention. It takes intention. One personal thing that I told my wife about, I said, I'm going to go buy a calendar. She goes, oh, no, we have one right here. You can use this one. And one thing that I want to grow in is I want to be more regular on taking my wife out for dates. So I told her, okay, I can just do it there. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the next month. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you out on that month, that day. And another thing I want to do is I want to take my kids on dates. I've done it very sporadically. And Kellen, like, hey, when are you going to take me out on a date, Dad? And I'm like, well, how long ago? I'm going to put that in and say, Kellen, what's a good night here? Volleyball's here. I'm going to take you out, even for an hour, I'm going to take you out. We'll go get some hot chocolate, ice cream, and we'll spend quality time. Oh, is that good? To build relationship with your children? Is that lasting? When it comes to God's judgment of our lives, that my son knew I loved him, I spent time with him, it takes intention, planning. Because when we don't do that, my wife and I realize, 3 weeks go by, 4 months go by, man, I wish I would have done it. And then there's regret. I don't want regrets anymore. I have enough of them. I want to live differently today than I did yesterday. I want to put intention in what I do. Then what about you? Or do you want to just float and let the river carry you down the downstream to the waterfall? Or are you going to intentionally, no, I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to go for it. Intention. And it may, when I say these things, you guys, these are just things that God's doing in me, and I hope for you that God's stirring things within you. I want to date my wife regularly. Before the baby, I was a lot better, but I want to make it regular every month, at least once a month. We used to do it for a while twice a month back in the day. We can't do that anymore. So once a month, and once a month with my kids, and then, okay, I want some friends over this month. Okay, life gets crazy, let's put them in here. Let's make it work. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to intentionally plan and make it work. Now let's apply this principle to our life spiritually, too, here. Okay, remember, we're all standing before the judgment seat of Christ. We want to live for Christ. We want to minimize our regrets. So to do so, we must live intentionally. Here are some things that we can do intentionally. Intentionally spend time with God. If you're like me, if there's not intention in it, I just don't spend time with God. If I go by how I feel, the more I go by how I feel, the less time I spend with God. So I'll wake up tired, and I work a long day. Oh, God, I'm just going to sleep in this morning. No. I'm going to spend time with God. So I'm going to tell my wife, tomorrow morning I'm waking up to spend time with God. If that doesn't get you motivated, tell a friend. Call me in the morning. Ask me if I spent time with God this way. I want to do it this way and this way, and this is what I want to do. Tell people, proclaim it, so if you don't do it, you look like an idiot. Well, if it works. You know what accountability is? Make yourself look like an idiot. Make yourself, this is what I'm going to do. Tell everybody if you don't do it. Well, man, they're kind of a strange person. Would that get you to do it? Intention, thought, tell people. Intentionally spend time with his word. Intentionally. Well, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to spend time with the Lord, and I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to go to my favorite park. I'm going to hop in the car. My kids are driving me crazy. My house is maybe cluttered, and I didn't have time to declutter it. So I'm going to go to the beach here. I'm going to tell my husband tomorrow, you need to take the kids. I'm going to go for 15 minutes. I'm just going to take a walk with God. Intention, planning, make it work. You guys, it doesn't. Do you notice how life speeds up older you get? Man, I don't want that. I've missed too much. My kids are 11. My son's 11. His hormones are going to turn on here soon. Ah! He likes to spend time with daddy right now. Will he still? Hope so. Every moment I have with him needs to be more intentional. Or if I go by how I feel, I'm going to miss out and I'm going to have regrets. And I don't want any regrets. I have enough of them now. We need to live intentionally. And one way to do that, we think we can just spiritually spend time with God. Because you know what happens when you begin to do intentional time with God? He'll speak to you. He'll show you about your family. He'll show you about things at church. He'll tell you what to do at church so you can help out. Oh, wow, that's cool. I'd love that. God begins to speak, or he points out areas in your life that aren't right, and you confess and say, God, I'm sorry, and he begins to transform you. Intention may seem hard at first, but when you begin to do it, fruit begins to grow in your life, and the regrets begin to fall away. Intentional living. Another thing we could do intentionally prioritize godly relationships. Bo was communicating with me earlier this week about we need to get past this idea of having church friends on Sunday to true friends that live life together. Spontaneous, unplanned, even in the sense of, oh, hey, how you doing? What happened on that? Hey, let's go out for dinner. An hour. Build true friendships. We need that here, right? Get past this churchy friends to a true friendship that we care, we're praying, we're there, and we will interrupt our own schedule because it's not as important as a relationship with someone else. And I was convicted of that as well. Are we intentionally building relationship friendships with each other? It needs to be intentional, or what? Our life just disappears before us. Chuck Swindoll said this. The word Philadelphia means human affection, brotherly love. It means being an affectionate friend. Samuel Coleridge wrote a poem titled Youth and Age with the line, friendship is a sheltering tree. That is wonderful, a wonderful word picture. Friends are those who lives are like branches. They provide shade. They provide refuge from the demanding, irritating, and searing rays of the hot sun. You can find comfort by them. You can find strength near them. They are tree-like in that they bear fruit that provides nourishment and encouragement. Isn't it interesting that when something occurs in life and you are alone, you pick up the phone and call a friend? You want to connect with someone else. Few things are more lonely than going through a sudden test or joy and having no friend at all. Are you intentionally building relationship with godly relationship with people that know Jesus? Or are you intentionally being faithful with your money? Ooh, that makes me uncomfortable. Am I intentionally giving to things outside of church? Am I giving to church even when it hurts? Oh, I don't like that. I don't like to give away my money. Ooh. Yeah, over the years, I keep seeing God going like this with my money. Oh, no, please, no more. He does that because the more we give, then God begins to bless us in ways we can't imagine. What about that widow who went and gave? She had no money, yet she gave what she had. And Jesus says, you know what? She gave more than all these other guys that came, all this money, and they gave this money that was worth probably a lot more than her. And he says, she gave more than all of them because she gave from the heart. Are we intentional with our money? Are we intentional about overcoming sin in our life? You don't just accidentally overcome sin. Will you intentionally come and say, this is an area of sin. Okay, what can I do about it? I confess it before God. What else can I do about it? I bring it to a friend, a person who's strong in God, not a friend who's at the same level or lower, because they're just going to say, oh, I do that too. But you go to someone who's strong and say, hey, this is the area I struggle with. Will you pray with me? Will you help me walk through? Oh, yeah, I'll be there for you. And then you guys walk through intentionally overcoming sin. And said, I feel guilty. It's called, you know what that's called when you feel guilty and do nothing? It's called worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow. There's godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow, there is no regret. We turn 180 degrees, we go towards God. Worldly sorrow is the times that we come, I'm so sorry, God, do it. I'm so sorry, God, do it. That's worldly sorrow, because you feel guilty about it, and you just keep doing it. Intentionally overcome areas of sin. I'm so sick of it. I'm going to do what it takes by God's grace, His power, through the Holy Spirit. And if you come with Him and you work out with Him and you still can't get through it because something's holding you back, you find a brother and sister in Christ because you've been building godly relationships that you could go to, and they begin to help you walk through that in your lives. Intentionally. The last one is intentionally obey God. When you read God's word, when you come to Sunday mornings, when you hear your favorite preacher on the radio or TV, you always keep asking yourself this question in your mind. Before you approach it, you just say, God, how will I obey it? How will I obey you today? Could you see how that could change? I'm looking at it, I go, wow, how it takes it from the mental to the practice, to obeying it. We have the worship team come forward. In what area will you obey God today? What area did God speak to you today about intentionally obeying Him in an area? Is it an area of sin? If it's an area of maybe things that something you need to change, intentionally change in your life today, what did God say to you so that you can grow into the person that God has called you to be? John Greenleaf Whittier said, for all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these: it might have been. In what area, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do you need to change? Intentionally change. When you think of God's shining light in every area of your life, is there any area of your life that you feel shame that if God was to do it right now in front of everybody, that's an area that you could bring before God. Let's shed the light on it now so God could work in us so that when we face the judgment seat of Christ, it's been dealt with. Is there an area where sin is taking you captive? Will you intentionally do what it takes to find freedom? And how will you obey God today? And what we're going to do today is we're going to go through, they're going to do a worship song, and then I'm going to come down and we're going to have communion. I'm going to have a challenge at communion. So let's worship. Ask yourself this question: what will I obey today? How will I obey what God said to me today? What did He say? What did He stir in you today? Start thinking about that. Let's worship Him, and then let's remember Him and what He did for us.